I'm pretty excited about this session. I've been around seeing a lot of things that are new and interesting to me, but not a lot of directly related kind of micro stuff, even though there's been some good soils stuff. So I'll be talking about seasonal changes in a anaerobic swine lagoon. As all of you are probably aware in here, swine lagoon or swine slurry is a mixture of manure, urine, and wash water that's either stored in pits beneath the facilities or in lagoons located next to the facilities. And then the manure is applied to the soil where it provides nutrients, improves soil condition. But both when applied and in the lagoons, you've got your ugly, which is your odor production. I guess most of y'all, or maybe some of you, saw Ian Pepper's talk this morning where he did the angels and the devils. And of course, anytime you talk about microbes, you kind of you have both the good and the bad of them. But the point being that microorganisms are very integral to what's going on in waste treatment systems, and I think sometimes they're ignored, especially in livestock waste. The beneficials, like just what John mentioned, organic degradation, nutrient removal, and you got the cross, I call, between biogas production or greenhouse gas production, whichever way you want to look at it. I choose to call it biogas because I think that it definitely is underutilized. But a better understanding of what happens with the microbiology should help us to be able to make suggestions that should improve and give us the benefits of the slurries without as many of the negative effects. So this is temperature data and odor data for the swine lagoon that we worked at. And as you can see, this is air temperature in yellow and then a top and bottom temperature in the lagoon. And so temperature varies as air temperatures vary in the lagoon. So it's not a steady state type of environment. There's change happening. On the bottom, this is data from John Logren, our chemist. These are paracreosol and skatol odor compounds. They're very potent odors, two of the major malodors associated with swine waste. And consistently, he finds that between May and kind of October, November, but just at, in the summer months, we tank on odor compounds, while in the winter months, they're extremely high. But the real question is, for us anyway, what is going on with the microorganisms within those systems? Do they vary with time and location in the lagoon? Because of molecular techniques, we do know more about what the big players are. So we know that there are a lot of Bacteroides, which are gram-negatives. We know there are a bunch of Clostridia, gram-positives. And because there's a lot of methane and hydrogen sulfide produced, we know that there are methanogens and sulfate-reducing bacteria. But we really don't know what's happening in the lagoon in terms of the microbial population with time and space. So we undertook a one-year study. We sampled it 10 different months, actually, in a swine lagoon, 0.4 hectare in western Kentucky. Our engineer developed this pulley system where we could pull the samplers out to the middle of the lagoon and then take our samples from either the top, mid-levels, or bottom of the lagoon so we could get specific depths. We then extracted DNA and did two types of analysis, real-time PCR to quantify target organisms, and DGGE, denaturing gradient gel electrophoresis, just to look at what's happening with those populations over time and space. So these are the data for total cells, and I'm going to start at the bottom, logically, of course. But these are data for top 51, 152, and bottom of the lagoon over the different months. And as you can see, cells, it's about 10 to the cells, 8 cells per mil. It's pretty consistent. However, if you look at the 51 centimeter, this red line or the white line, there's like a log increase in cell numbers over time, which I actually thought, generally when I look at total cell numbers, they just stay the same. So a log change is a pretty significant change. Then we took the DGGE patterns, the banding patterns, and we did principal component analysis so that we could try to tease out what the important differences were between the months and depths, et cetera. And what we found is that summer and spring separated out from winter and fall. So there was a pretty significant difference based on season, and not nearly as much difference based on depth. This is the Clostridia, another major group in the Swine Lagoon slurry. And again, with the different depths, and I was just surprised to find that at the bottom of the lagoon, we had significantly lower concentrations of Clostridia. I guess I'm in the mindset the more anaerobic, the better, but obviously there's some kind of competition or maybe environmental conditions that preclude them to some extent at the bottom. And when we looked at the banding patterns from the DDGE, these bees are the bottom samples, they kind of separated out from all the rest of the samples. But there really wasn't a seasonal effect. It was only based on space within the lagoon. This is the data for Bacteroides. They were kind of interesting. We used the same samples to look at total cells, Clostridia, functional groups, and we didn't see anything else that kind of tanked in June like this did. So there seems to be something significant that happened in that month. It's warmer, of course. pH at that month was also 8, and Bacteroides have been shown to be kind of sensitive to pH. And then when we did the DGE, the samples separated winter and spring and fall. And then this is those freakish June samples. So they varied seasonally like total cells did, but the separation was summer spring for the total cells. But again, you're seeing a separation based on season rather than depth within the lagoon. I need to start hitting the right button. This is just a kind of a side item here. I started realizing, well, I've got numbers for total cells, Clostridia, Bacteroides, and then I also did E. coli. And this is top and bottom data. Total cells, again, around 10 to the 8th. Bacteroides is a major part of the population in those lagoons, sometimes getting up, well within the 10%, 20% range. Clostridia, about half again of what those are, and then you have your E. coli. It's about 4 orders of magnitude lower than total cell counts. So as an indicator or source tracking, you're almost dealing with something that we would actually call, an insignificant, which of course we know there's no such thing, I guess, but still a minor part of the population in terms of overall cells. So then we wanted to know what's going on with specific functional groups. We know that there's this major shift in what happens in the odor compounds. We know there's a lot of change in temperature. How is that reflected in what goes on in specific groups? So this is just real-time PCR data. Again, top, middle, and bottom, and then the black is in bottom, and then the black is just the Skaytol data, just as a placeholder for odors in general. And so the anoxygenic phototrophs are that group of bugs that cause the lagoons to get kind of a purple hue. Most people who work much at a lagoon have seen it before, and there's been research that suggests that the odor compounds decrease as the concentration of these phototrophs increase. And so we did have significant changes as it got warmer, but as you can see, that the concentrations actually stay high until well into January. So they start back up around May or June and then stay high pretty far into the winter months. And then when I tried to look at the relationship with odor production, at least for Skaytol and paracreosol, the only two that I used, there was no relationship. Then sulfate reducers, we found that they just stayed steady kind of throughout, and so they didn't vary by season, by depth, they were just always around. And then I looked at methanogens, kind of from the biogas, methane production, greenhouse gas kind of aspects. We actually have 3 groups of methanogens that are in the slurries. This is just one of them. And as you can see, especially at the bottom, they're definitely a major part of the population. A little bit of variability with season. But this is the data for the middle and bottom the middle and 51 centimeters. And there was 4 orders of magnitude change in the methanogenic population. So we are seeing a very seasonal aspect to methanogens. And then when I correlated that with Skaytol production, this is Skaytol and log cells, I got an R squared of 0.80, and then for paracreosol, the relationship's 0.95. So especially, and of course we all work in environment, we know that that's kind of unusual to come up with such a strong relationship. And it could just be coincidental, temperatures increasing, degradation of the compounds maybe by other organisms, increasing availability of substrates for the methanogens. This is kind of new data, so we're not exactly sure how it hashes out. It's just an interesting finding, and we're going to continue, hopefully, to find in this real transitionary phase where you see a high to low concentrations of odor, and try to focus in on the populations that are responsible for high odor and the ones that correlate with low odor, which obviously methanogens do. So in conclusion, our data show that there's a very seasonal aspect to the organisms in swine lagoon slurry. The Clostridia are always present. Hespelia is in the clostridial group, but it was originally isolated from swine lagoon slurry. And it was present at all times. It's the only thing, the only band, the only sequence that I got consistently. And Bacteroides are a major portion of the population in the swine lagoon slurry. We also see that other functional groups vary. There are some like ureases, bugs with ureases, hydrogenases. Those guys are always present also. But then the concentration of the methanogens was very high in the lagoon and varied inversely with the concentration of odors. So we're hoping later on to explore that a little bit more. And thanks for your attention. I'll take any questions.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes for questions.
So I could have talked on and on. Okay,
Jim,
thank you.
I have a question.
Oh, thanks.
So when you saw the drop in Bacteroides in June, would that have anything to do with turning over of the lagoon associated with temperature gradient?
Right, it's about the time that there are major changes happening in terms of temperature and the odor compounds, actually. So a lot is happening in June. We're just not exactly sure how it correlates with what's going on with those bugs. And total cell numbers didn't do that. It was really Bacteroides, especially.
Did you
No, we didn't.
That would have been interesting. Maybe if
yeah, that's a good point.
Two,
see if there's some kind of correlation with it.
Hospitable for Bacteroides and then
yeah. They seem to be a major player, though, in the slurries. So I think they're underappreciated, actually, as a group. Thank you.
Any questions for Kim? Okay, great. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, our... see, how do we cycle through this? Is that how you do it? See, all right.